Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Eleanor Cohn and Bessie Hyman are interviewing Margaret Lipson on March 18, 1976, in her dining room on Marlborough Avenue. Margaret, tell me something about your immediate family. Tell me about your mother, her family.
Well, my mother's family, my father's family, were Hungarians. And my mother's parents lived in a very small town, a shtetl, called Munkács, which at that time belonged to the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And later on, it was given to Czechoslovakia to form that little country after World War I. My grandfather was I won't call him a postmaster. He was a mailman. That it was such a small town. That's all we required was a mailman. And my grandmother had a little store. That kind of follows the pattern that we had learned about the shtetl and the Jewish family, where the wife did have a little store or did something else of that kind. And that's where my mother grew up. I think it's interesting to know one thing about my mother when she was growing up. She really loved to read so much that she read every minute that she could, and at night, when she was supposed to be sleeping, her mother would sometimes catch her. She would have had her sheet way up over her head with a candle, of all things, under the sheet so that she could read what she called her romana, the romances that she loved to read. And This I learned only when she scolded me for doing the same thing, but not with a candle at night when I was supposed to be asleep. My mother went to, I suppose, what we call a public school, but then she became an apprentice to a couturier, not in that little town. I really don't know exactly where. It was probably in the city. And she became a very, very fine seamstress. My father's family, his name was Nathan Siegel.
Your mother's name was?
Was Rose Klein. My father's name was Nathan Siegel. His father had a factory in a small town in Hungary, in Pust, where they made policing. I'm not sure, but anyway.
How do you spell Pust?
H-U-S-Z-T. His brothers were also in the family.
Your father's
business.
Brothers or
my
your grandfather's brothers?
My father's brothers were also in the business. But my father was not. And I don't know why that happened, but at first he was sent to a school to study to become a rabbi. But apparently he didn't like that. He gave that up, although he certainly didn't give up the learning. He really knew Judaism, Orthodox, of course. And later on, he did a number of things. Among them, he was a lumberman in Bosnia. Now I have a little glass there with the bark, as you see, which was something he had brought home from Boston.
How do you spell Bosnia?
B-O-S-N-I-A. Well, my mother, to take up the story, my mother went to the United States, and she went to New York, where she was a very fine dressmaker.
What made her come to the United States?
What made any of them come to the United States?
Did she have relatives here?
No, although a sister of hers also came. Whether she came before my mother or not, I really don't know.
Did your mother come alone?
Oh, yes. And she was in her 20s at the time, and the two of them were in New York. At one time, I had pictures of them. This was in the early 20th century. It must have been around 1900. I had pictures of these two sisters in their huge hats, you know. I love those pictures. Now they disappeared. I don't know who in the family took them. Maybe my aunt's children did at one time. So she lived in New York for a time and did this dressmaking. But then she went home to visit her mother. And her mother was horrified. Here was her darling daughter, who apparently was one, if not her favorite child, one of her favorite children, not yet married. And of course, you know, this was a dreadful thing. So my grandmother said, "Rose Ruchel, I have just the person for you. He's a handsome, fine young widower, and this would be a very fine match." And my mother said, asked her various details, and widower, and he had 6 children. He had been married when he was 18. And so here he was, still quite a young man, but with the 6 children. But the children, all of them but one, were living with the grandparents, my father's parents. Well, I don't know the details of the romance. Sufficient to say they were married. And for many years, I had the engagement ring, which was an opal. And I lost it only when my eldest son, Franklin, had to be amused while he was having his meals in his high chair. And he had this little jewel box of mine that he liked to play with. When we were living on Solway Street at the time, and we had floor registers in that house on Solway Street, and as he played with these things, this little ring with the opal went down the register to buy Mother's engagement ring. Anyway, that really doesn't have too much to do with what we're doing. But my mother then was married and stayed, of course, in Hungary. When I was to be born, she went from where my parents were living, which was either in Budapest or near there, and she went to her mother's home in Munkács. So I was born in Munkács.
How do you spell Munkács?
M-U-N-K-A-C-Z.
When were you born?
I was born January 7th, 1909. Then my parents, my mother brought me back to Budapest, but I think that something interesting happened that my mother used to tell, the story that she told. She had, they had a midwife, but my mother had so much trouble that my grandmother insisted on getting a doctor too, and so they did. And my mother says that she could vaguely hear her mother saying to the doctor, "I don't care about her child, you just saved my child." And my mother, it always held that against her mother, she said. I'm sure she wasn't too angry. At any rate, my mother and father then did live in Budapest, and my mother, of course, somewhat prejudiced, said that I was a very beautiful baby. And one day she was on a train, a railroad platform, and there were two holding the baby, and my mother, as I told you, they were Orthodox. My mother wore a shapely, which you know is the wig that Orthodox women wore after they were married, because they had to cut their hair. My mother was standing on the platform with this baby in her arms, and two Hungarian officers were striding up and down the platform, and they kept glancing at her, and she was very uncomfortable. Obvious that she was a Jewish woman, and Jews were not too comfortable in Hungary if they were at all, you know, attracted any kind of attention to themselves. And sure enough, as they went by her one time, she heard one saying to the other, "Isn't it a shame that such a beautiful child should belong to a Jew?" Whereupon my mother said to herself, that settled it. She had been thinking ever since she was married that she had to come back to this country where a person had a chance to be somebody and do something other than what he had been born into. And she said from that moment on she decided she would not give up on that. She had been saying it ever since she was married, that they should come to the United States, but she hadn't really pressed it as much as she thought she should have, but this was the point at which she determined she was going to do it, whereupon she wrote to her brother in Aliquippa, then Woodlawn, about 30 miles from Pittsburgh. My parents very poor, very poor family, and she wrote to him and told him that she absolutely had to come to this country with her husband and child and the youngest of my father's children from his first marriage, who lived with us, Jacob, and we had to come to this country, and her brother should somehow see that we got the tickets, and when we got here, she had no doubt that we would soon be able to repay the money that he had laid out for the tickets.
Had her brother gone to America before, the two girls?
Yes, yes. And my uncle raised children.
Did she know English?
She did. She did, and this is another interesting thing about my mother. Well, we came over, and I was 5 years old, and I don't remember and didn't remember many details, but Ellis Island I did remember, and the recollection I had of Ellis Island was a very large rooms, and some of them surrounded by a fencing of some sort. And that was really all that I remember. We didn't have to stay there very long. We had no problems, and we soon were in Woodlawn.
How did you get from Ellis Island to Woodlawn?
By train.
Did anyone help you?
I don't remember. I don't know. I didn't know that, and I never... very foolish. I never questioned my mother about these things. Some things I did know, but I don't really remember that.
Did you have other sisters and brothers besides the half-brother who came with
us? The half-brother who came with us was the only one who had lived at home, and I did have other half-brothers and sisters. They lived with their grandparents, and later on, some of them were came over here. My father brought them over here after the war. Some stayed on in Europe. Two of them are in Israel now.
Do you have any full sisters and brothers?
No, I was the only child of the second marriage.
Tell me something about your home after you got to Woodlawn. What type of a home?
Well, we were in Woodlawn. We came to Woodlawn and took no time at all for my father to be put to work. He wanted to. Now, it sounded as though he didn't want to. But he couldn't speak the language. But he got a job very quickly in the J&L steel mill as an unskilled worker, but he was not there very long because he decided to learn the trade of paper hanging. And he became a very good paper hanger in very short order, so much so that all the ladies on Plan 6, which was the hilltop where all the supervisors and superintendents of the mill and so on, where they all lived. It didn't take very long that they were all demanding that my father give them time and do their paper.
Do you know why he decided to be a paper hanger?
My uncle decided that this was something that was needed in Woodlawn, and this was a good thing for him to get into.
What was your mother doing during this time?
My mother was a housewife and mother, and sewed just for me. I have a little story that's very funny about my father and his, when he still didn't know how to speak the English language very well. I don't know, it's maybe a little off color, but I'll tell it because you're not going to be publishing the... as I told you, he didn't speak very well. And these women were all very kind. They all wanted to be helpful. They knew he had just come to this country, and they were always trying to make him feel at home. They were offering him lunch, and or was part of his lunch, and so on. And my father, being as orthodox as he was, would not have dreamed of eating any of the food. But he was having trouble with the language. He wanted to be gracious and refuse in as nice a way as he could. And he just didn't know how to say it to this one woman who was so insistent. He said, finally, "No, thank you. I like what my wife got." And anyway.
Tell me something about your home.
As far as learning the English language, my mother, when we first came to this country, and my father got his first job, and we moved to our own home, which was what was then called Aliquippa, which was an adjoining small town, adjoining Woodlawn. Later on, the two towns merged, and Woodlawn became Aliquippa, and what was Aliquippa became West Aliquippa. That was where we lived. And my mother said, "All right," said she to my father, to my brother, and to this cousin of mine who had come over with us, and he lived with us. She said, "All right now," said she in Hungarian, "all of you have to learn to speak American. Not one word will be spoken in this house except American until all of you learn." And so we did have to learn. She wouldn't let us speak anything but American. We had a laundress, called her the wash lady, who was also Hungarian. And when we had first come, I used to love to be with her when she came to do the washing so I could help. And in the beginning, I spoke Hungarian to her. But then when my mother said we couldn't speak anything but American, one day I came to my mother and said, I want to ask Annie if I can help wring the clothes. And I don't know how to ask her in Hungarian. And my mother said, what do you mean you don't know how to ask? I said, I don't know. I don't remember. My mother had done such a good job that although I had spoken Hungarian very, very well, I was 5 years old and I really did speak very well, says my mother, because she thought I would. The point. Here I had forgotten all my Hungarian, and the only Hungarian words, and I think that this is reveals something too, the only Hungarian words that I remembered were, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, is Szép Lánya, which means pretty girl. So you know how my mother and, and father enough said on that. Anyway, our home, I don't know what it is you'd like me to tell you about.
You know, was it a religious home? Was it a home full of books? Was it a home full of painting? Just what type of a home was it?
Well, it was a very modest home of an Orthodox Jewish family. Yeah. Kosher home. My father had of all the people I have ever met, he had the greatest faith, and I mean religious faith, actually faith in God, and of anyone I've ever come across.
Did you celebrate all the Jewish holidays?
We celebrated, yeah, all the holidays, and observed everything. When I used to say that my father was a very religious man, he used to say to me, that's not true. I am not a religious man. The fact that we had a store, a general store. The fact that I keep my store open on Saturday means that I am not a religious man. Don't say to people, did we observe all the holidays? Yes, we did. And later on, we moved to Woodlawn, and there were no Jewish restaurants, of course. And any Jewish men, unmarried or whose wives were not with them, who came to work or do some sort of work in Aliquippa were always at our table on holidays or Friday night. One of the young men who was a guest at such times in our home was Dr. Willis Landy, whom you probably
yes.
know. Well, he opened his office. I mean, he started the practice in Aliquippa. I think that was where he started. He was a very young doctor then, and often ate in our home. My parents felt, you know, they didn't want a nice Jewish man to have to eat non-kosher food, so we had it in our house.
From the time you went to Woodlawn, was there always enough money for food and clothing?
Oh, yes. We never had, my parents were never, well, never. But certainly were comfortable with
it. You spoke of how much your mother liked to read. What did she do when she came to America?
Continue to read.
Where did she get her books?
Well, I don't remember where she got her books before the library was opened in Woodlawn. But after the library was opened, that's where she got them. And, of course, we didn't own a great many books. There wasn't money for that kind of thing. We didn't own a great many books, but there were always books in the house to read. And there always was a newspaper. And after we had our little store, we also had magazines. My mother, my father had not only, we had not only the American newspapers, but my father always got the Jewish Forward mailed to him from New York.
Was there much music in your home?
Oh, yes. There was music in the home. I remember the hand-cranked phonograph. And when I was in, it was right after World War One, not too long after World War One. It must have been about 1920 or so. My mother's brother and his wife, they were a childless couple, and they had been opera singers in Germany. They came to this country, my parents and my mother's brother, who lived in Maricopa, brought them over. And they lived with us, we thought, temporarily, till he found something to do. But this went on for, I think, maybe 8 or 9 years. I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure of the dates or the number of years, but it was years that they lived with us. And for some reason or other, they simply could not seem to learn to speak the language. And so there was German always in the house, and that's how I learned to understand German. And, of course, they added to the music library. And they didn't add it. We bought the records, but they also added to it.
Was there any discipline in your home where you were concerned?
Oh.
So what kind of discipline was there in that
time? Very. Definitely there was the discipline. Very, it wasn't a physical kind of discipline. That was really never necessary. I don't know how to say that, but it seems as long as I can remember, I was always treated like another adult in the house. And I was given an understanding of right and wrong, and there was never any problem about you know, when you talk about discipline, it was not a problem. It was just instilled in me, you know, what was right to do and what wasn't right to do, and that was it.
Were your parents?
And my brother also, same way. This was the way the discipline was instilled. Were taught properly. That's all I can say.
Were your parents interested in politics in Woodland?
If you know anything about Woodland or Aliquippa, you know that it was one of these company towns. It was a town about which whether it was the New Republic or the Nation back in the late 20s, one of the writers called Aliquippa the tightest little steel barony in the country. And I can tell you how tight it was, too. Everything was run by the bosses in the steel mill. And, for example, a group of young men wanted to start a YMCA in Aliquippa. And they were told in no uncertain terms, no, we don't need this in Aliquippa, it's not needed here. And so there was no YMCA started. When I was in high school, in our Problems of Democracy class, civics class, call it that, I was had a very interesting kind of presentation of labor and management of problems, a very one-sided one. And by that time, I was a senior in high school. I had been doing some reading and had some ideas, and I used to ask questions in class, and the standard answer Now, don't argue with me. And I'd come home to talk to my mother.